Good morning, and welcome to another Tuesday Community Conversation. I'm your host, Phil Huff, recording the show today. Not sure if we'll have a live in-session host, but by the time you're listening to this, you'll know. Julie, my normal co-host, is absent this week, last week of August, and she took off to go fishing in Alaska. I'm sure we'll hear all about it when she gets back. And of course, by the time you hear this, it will be post-Labor Day weekend, and hopefully everyone got out and got to do something fun in some agreeable weather. Smoke's tamped down, the cool fall air is moving in. And it's times like these that we think about cycles of nature, and often in the fall, I think we look at the harvest, we look at the changes that are taking place to our gardens and growth around us. And so it's a good time of year to talk about permaculture, and it's especially a good time right now. We have two guests on today who are going to talk about an upcoming event. But first, let's dive in a little bit to who we have on today, who they are, and what permaculture is all about. And so first off, we have Ken Kassler, who's a longtime Bonner County resident living in the Clark Fork area. He believes in healthy communities, healthy living, and preserving our ecosystems. And along with Ken today, we have Jason Smith, a Boundary County resident from Bonners Ferry, who has been practicing permaculture wildcrafting for many years. He's currently on the board of directors for the Inland Northwest Permaculture Guild and is one of the co-organizers of an event coming up in the next weekend called the Convergence. So welcome, Ken. Welcome, Jason. Welcome to the show. Ken, I think you've been on before. Take us a little deeper dive about yourself and your involvement in permaculture.
Sure, Phil. And thanks for having us. You know, I hope the audio's good. By this time in our lives, it seems like we're all used to Zoom quality video. It's the way we meet, unfortunately, lately. Tell you about myself. Well, I don't know. I'm not much of a horn blower myself, but I've been involved with the radio station since the early days. And I don't know if you remember way back then, I had a podcast called Thinking Outside of the Box. And what we were exploring was different bioregions, the same vein as permaculture, but we were talking about thriving in our particular bioregion. So yeah, some people remember me from that. I did a little bit of DJing on the station too. And you know, I wish I had more than one life to live because I would be there. I'm living in Clark Fork. I have 25 acres I'm stewarding currently. I mean, it's property that myself and my ex-wife bought in 1976. Yeah, I think I'll leave it there. You know, we've got a family garden, and I'll probably talk more about it a little bit later. So, yeah, well, Jason, you want to? I'll pass the baton to you, Jason.
Thank you, Ken. And before we hit Jason, I just want to say it's always nice to interview another radio person. It's good to have you back on the airwaves, Ken. And we're certainly going to return more to what's going on out at your property on Clark Fork. And Jason, tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself, how you got involved with permaculture.
Yeah, thank you. Good day. It's an honor to be on the show. I first got involved in permaculture in 2016, studying physics, asking the questions, what is going on in nature at the deepest kind of levels? And it was in a kind of metaphysical philosophy of science kind of context that I discovered the ideas of permaculture, which basically take less of an abstract kind of epistemological approach towards the structures of systems of thought that we build up, the ecosystems that sustain us, and take a more dynamically embodied ecological approach. And so I've been practicing for 5 years. My first PDC was in Montana, 2016. I've been on the board of directors for a couple years of the Inland Northwest Permaculture Guild, which is a group of regional practitioners who all have different specialties within and meet every year for our annual convergence, which is essentially like a simulation of indigenous gatherings for regional skill shares, information exchanges, barter circles, all types of conference-like activity that we view as a natural expression of a bioregion wanting to stabilize itself and have a productive, flourishing economy and culture. I've been doing permaculture professionally for a couple years and am excited and honored to be in such an exciting, dynamic field and to see how it will all be evolving as we continue to face the challenges of the 21st century that we do.
Thank you, Jason. Before we take much deeper a dive into the topic, let's start with some essentials for folks who are listening and maybe are being introduced to the concept for the first time. Jason, maybe you can start and tell us a little bit more about what permaculture is really all about. How would you best define it? And then maybe we'll get Ken's take on that same question too.
Yeah, we do not view permaculture so much as a novel thing, but more so a return to ancestral and indigenous ways of life. So the very word permaculture is a portmanteau, the combination of two words, permanent and agriculture. Really, it reflects that desire that people have for what they believe in and for how they live their lives to extend through time and to be carried on due to a type of harmonic stability that people have from their ecologies, you know, their forests, their river systems, their low-lying valley lands. How do we acquire our food, our fuel, our fiber, our medicine, our forage, our resources? How do we provide the everyday things that we need? And how does that a function of the ecosystems that sustain us? So on a very basic level, what we're trying to do is create multi-generational stability, create the systems that can have a society resiliently endure things like climate catastrophes such as heat waves or drought periods and rainfall events that are abnormal. Basically, it's all about buffering our chances against nature by designing with it, by harmonizing, by applying what we see about nature to the systems that we construct so that we don't do anything that contradicts the wisdom and the harmony that's contained in natural systems. We're basically designing our lives to mirror the patterns of forests, to mirror what happens in nature, and to thus be able to have that dynamic stability.
Nice.
So Jason, let me interject something just for your information. You did something and your sound got a lot better. I'm not sure if you moved forward or what, but whatever it is, keep doing it. And there's not a lot I can add, you know, permaculture, permanent agriculture, but then I also just shorten it to permanent culture. And, you know, we've all heard, you know, that we're exhausting the resources of our planet. And it's getting harder and harder for a naysayer to even speak up anymore, just because it's so obvious the changes that we're making. And I view permaculture as a philosophy of doing what it takes to make our culture permanent. And you're right, Jason, it is in many ways referring back to the indigenous ways. I'd like Jason to maybe expand on it because I'm not that well versed, but one thing that permaculture emphasizes is blending systems. You don't just take one system and say, well, this works, and ignore the rest. All the different systems need to work together and blend so that there's none fighting against each other. And a good example of not doing that is when we use insecticides and we go, we're going to kill that bug. And more often than not, yeah, sure, you might kill the bug, but in the long run, you're messing with things downstream. So, yeah, that's about all I can add as far as a general description. Well, one other thing, Permi people are fun to hang out with.
Well, but of course, what are some of the simplest ways for people to become more involved, to integrate more of the practices? What's the entry point for people new to the concepts?
Well, a lot of people get into permaculture from a kind of practical homesteading perspective as far as researching different modalities of providing for their own needs. So a lot of people get into it from more of an urban context, not having done country life. And so just beginning to plant, just beginning to grow is huge for a lot of people. And you start where you are, you know, do what you can, just starting small gardens, herb gardens, vegetables, planting fruit trees, you know, even just paying attention to the ecosystems that we're already a part of. How are the trees bloom in our neighborhoods? What are all the cues that the trees put on when the pollen is running, when the sap flows, when the fruits are blooming or when the fruits are ripening in the autumn? Paying attention to all these things and noticing subtleties in them and how their functions of the ecosystem. Those are all huge ways, just opening our eyes and observing nature and really seeing what's going on in natural systems. That's the biggest thing. So permaculture is a design science that applies to not any one particular thing. It's a matter of applying principles and methodology to how we do things. So agriculture, it could apply to business, it could apply to economics, it could apply to the way we build structures. And indeed at our convergence, we'll have different flavors of education seminars on all of these things. And so there's no one thing that people, you can be a permaculture electrical engineer, you know, as long as you work with, you know, recycling systems and you work with, you know, avoiding producing any waste, as long as you're being creative and you're integrating your craft into, you know, creating something that can last longer than, you know, the next fashion fad, the next minute, the next month, right? We're creating big systems, long-term enduring systems of fertility. And so there's all kinds of entry points, joining groups, meeting other permies, talking to them about what they do, seeing what inspires you, learning, opening, observing. Those are all the first entry steps, of which there are many faces that someone can get into.
What got both of you inspired? What got you down this road, Ken?
Living close to nature. You know, I'm well, you don't know this, but you will soon. I'm a refugee from the big city. I grew up down in the megapolis. And when I was old enough to make my own decisions, I started moving north. Just because I mean, back then, honestly, it was rejecting society and saying, man, this is not working for me. I got to get back closer to nature. But, you know, as I matured as a human, I realized that, you know, in order to live in harmony, total harmony with the planet, I need to change my ways a little bit. Back to your previous question, you know, one of the simplest things somebody can do if they want to begin the process is don't throw your compost out. Get a compost bin, and you're beginning that cycle of regenerating the earth there. Get some worms to go in your compost. I forgot the question, so come up with another one, Phil.
No, you've pretty well covered it. It was how you got started and where people could have a point of entry. So let's move on to the organization, Jason, that you're part of. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so the Inland Northwest Permaculture Guild began as a result of people joining together from a PDC that Michael Pilarski taught 11 years ago. And so its primary function is the Convergence, which is this annual conference-like gathering of education and skill sharing and trading and gathering, meeting. But there's also seed swaps that we put on. There's seasonal events. We have, you know, gatherings. So it is a private organization now. We are changing the way we're doing things as far as interactions with the public due to the recent change in things. But the main weight of what we do is make sure that the convergence happens, because we believe it's a very important thing that humanity is allowed to express itself in such a way as these things. It's a very important function for people to be able to gather and have this transfer of information and to be able to learn the things that we talk about, because it is indeed of the most vital importance. And so That's the main thing. We've done conferences in Missoula, in Kalispell, outside of Spokane, Hot Springs, Montana. We're going on the 11th one, the second one here at Ken Kassler's farm in Clark Fork. And it's really just a network of practitioners more so than anything. The primary, you know, yield that we acquire is the relationships and the connections between people. The convergences are a great time. And they really enable a lot of people and connect a lot of people up to get to the next step of where they want to be or what they want to learn. So the guild has had waves as far as its input of people wanting to volunteer. It's a Washington registered nonprofit, so nobody is profiting. It is purely for the good, for the regeneration of our ecosystems, for the fertility of our soils, for the building of a positive future.
Good. And so you've mentioned you brought up the convergence a couple times. It's coming up. Tell us about the event.
Okay, I'll start. Jason painted a fairly good picture of the past convergences. I mean, for one thing, in a way, it's like you can't exactly describe what it's like because it's just so spontaneous and different every year. We get together on the Thursday before, and I mean, actually, there's been quite a bit of preparation as far as straightening up my property and having the kitchen in order and things like that. But on the Thursday before, we'll get together and we're going to put up some large shelter type structures, a sky lodge that Skeeter, Michael Pilarski, has. And so, I mean, to me, it's just a community event, and it's a time when we do all this, the Permaculture Guild and outlying people get together just to share our common goals. I'm gonna let Jason list off some of the classes that we'll have. And actually, I want to back up one more time because I want to introduce the word regenerative. There's a lot of talk about having a sustainable environment, and permaculture, we're not really using that anymore because a system has to be regenerative now in order for it to sustain itself, you know. Okay, I got off track again. That's what we do when we get to my age.
Yeah, that's okay. Let's go over some of the basics, like when and where and who's invited.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's this coming weekend. It's September 10th, 11th, and no, 9th, 10th and 11th. Jason, do you have the poster in front of you? I always get the dates wrong.
It's the
10th, 11th, and 12th. And it's happening at my farm in Clark Fork, Idaho. And it's kind of a strange twist. Basically, it's not a public event, but we're inviting members. And I would say probably I'm expecting about 3/4 of the attendees to be the old timers who come every year. And they basically come prepared to put together a community kitchen. They're bringing the harvest from their garden. Bringing things like firewood, just knowing that we're going to live together in a little community for a weekend. And then the other 25% are the new members. And they're a lot of the people we're talking to right now on the radio. It's like a $35 membership fee, which for all the classes and stuff that are happening, it more than pays for itself if you're interested in learning about many of the things, you know, hugel culture, biochar, mass heaters. Jason, I'm going to let you kind of run down the list there. So yeah, that's it. It's a $35 membership fee. And then I have camping areas on the property, and that's a separate, either $15 to camp for the weekend, or if you got a big RV or something, the price goes up from there, just depending on how much space you need to take up. What did I miss, Jason?
Yeah, so we are a nonprofit, and the money essentially just goes towards helping putting on the event, renting out things like porta potties, event insurance costs. And no one has ever been turned away for lack of funds. We used to do everything donation based, and that has worked. It's a very free flowing, non-rigid, flexible, resilient type of system. Most of the time we do fine just on the donations, but we are keeping it closed to the public. You do have to be involved with the guild as a membership. So you can go on to www.inlandnorthwestpermaculture.com to read about who we are and what we do and how to get involved. And if you'd like to, you know, get involved in this event, then you can do that there. But it is a little bit closed now just due to health precautions. We are very mindful of what's happening in the world right now, and we are aware of the protocols that we should be following. And so we encourage everybody for safe practices, discourage anyone who's feeling any type of illness from attending, and to have common sense to bring flashlights, to bring food that they are comfortable with eating and their own way of cooking it if they do not want to be involved with what else will other food systems will be going. But yeah, it's September 10th, 11th, and 12th, to reiterate that, over the weekend. There is a day before and after of cleanup, which volunteer work traders, people who would like to learn more about how these things go, can come. But during the actual event, there'll be a combination of meals, of time in which no seminars are being offered, but the seminar blocks are in the morning and afternoon of Saturday. There are some on Sunday morning. There are some on Friday afternoon. There are keynote speeches. So some of the seminars that are being offered right now is we have one on mycology and mushroom production, wildcrafting, mushroom foraging. We have seminar on agroforestry, orchard maintenance, food forestry, that type of thing. We have people coming from Northport who are going to be talking about sustainable building, low-cost building that's climate appropriate, you know, how to make smart, intelligently designed infrastructure. We have a doctor from Afghanistan who's going to be talking about how the Columbia Basin and Eastern Washington share a very similar semi-arid climate to the homeland of Afghanistan, and some of the opportunities for permaculture there. We're going to be having things on nonviolent communication. We have things on back to traditional, sustainable, less processed, less traveled indigenous food systems. So, and the list keeps building, biochar, hugel culture, and things can pop up too that people aren't, you know, many people can show up and they'll want to teach a class on the spot, and it can be really surprising, some of the really complicated conversations and discussions that emerge. But Sunday afternoon is when the event formally draws to a close, and many things to do, learn, see, and discover.
So lots and lots of interesting speakers and topics. It sounds wonderful. And if someone's not a member, it sounds like it's possible for them to become a member and attend. Is that right?
Yes,
that's correct. Yeah, that's correct. I talked with the lady from Sandpoint who just moved here from Seattle. And, you know, this is like the golden opportunity for her. She's been reading about permaculture. They bought a homestead and they want to learn some good gardening and living practices. And so, yeah, she says, I'm stoked, you know. And I'm not sure if I'm competent to talk about our keynote speaker, but a lot of people in our Sandpoint area know Skeeter, AKA Michael Pilarski. He's been, what's the word, Jason? He's like one of the mainstays of permaculture here in the Northwest. He's been doing it for forever. And he's been starting and leading gatherings. He just finished the Northwest Herbal Fair, which there was, I think, 700 people there. And he's going to be talking on, do you have that in front of you? Dry land. Oh, I have it right here.
He's going to be talking about dry land farming, semi-arid conditions, fire mitigation, water retention landscaping for desert like environments or desertifying conditions, which we are in fact experiencing in the inland Northwest. So a very relevant topic is how to deal with fires, how to, what plant communities, what kind of earthworks, what kind of systems we want to construct to really consciously, intentionally work with our forests to have the best balance of water and fire mitigation and usage of these elements of nature.
Lots and lots of interesting stuff. And I just picture listeners who are trying to take it all in and look at the next steps. So give us the web address one more time for folks to go to find out more about the event and some of the topics going on and what it takes to sign up to become a member and attend.
Yeah. So you can look at archives on the internet, pictures of past convergences. You can get a feel. It's very grassroots. It's very simple, low-key, very ancestral, multi-generational, all age ranges, very appropriate for families. There's kids programs. You can go ahead on to inlandnorthwestpermaculture.com. That is the domain name, www.inlandnorthwestpermaculture.com. No spaces, no dash. And from there, basically, you can see everything you need to see. You can see people who have sponsored us in the past. You can see video cuts from old keynote speeches. You can see listings of different classes from the past, ways to get involved. There's a tab you can go to membership. There's contact information there, affiliates. There's articles, resources. There's a lot. So inlandnorthwestpermaculture.com is the portal right now.
If you want to just write down the phone number, I set up a message line and our listeners can call. And if there's any any updates that need to be known, which we're not counting on any, but back for a while, we were wondering, are we going to have to cancel it? But it's a go. And that number is 208-495-4059. I'll repeat that. That's 208-495-4059. Like I said, it's a message number. You can text that number and I will get back as best as I can with any questions you might have.
Very good. Well, so we kind of come to the close of the interview. Is there anything more that you'd like to talk about either regarding the event or permaculture in general, some final or closing thoughts? Jason, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I would encourage anyone to identify wherever they're at with respect to, the idea of really solidifying their plan for how to face the climate crisis that we're ensuing, the political economic crises that we're facing. Permaculture really is a very simple, neutral way to respond to these. And so I invite everybody to get more and more involved and just see where they're at and see where they want to be and to reach out and see what they want to do, because there's a lot. There's a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of possibilities. Permaculture is inherently about solutions. It's purely about positive things we can do, things we can build, not critiquing things we can, we're not talking about destruction. We're talking about the rebuilding. We're talking about the regrowth, the regeneration of society. And so, yeah, I just say, enjoy it. If you aren't feeling like coming, then you shouldn't. But if you have any interest, then look into it a little bit more, because the wormhole is multidimensionally deep in whatever fractal dimension you want to go. And goes very ancestral, very far reaching into the future. There's places for so many different crafts, so many different mindsets. We welcome diversity, as many different types of minds and thoughts we can include in our analysis and in our plans, the better, because the more elements there are in a system, the more people are involved, the better. And if people can be positive elements in their landscape, in their communities, rather than negative, as we have been since the last Industrial Revolution, then suddenly there can't be enough people, because if we're positive, then then all of the human energy that we can come up with is good and much welcomed. And we are the ones who need to restore the systems. The nature won't do it by itself on this point. We have to work with nature and intervene. So there's any number of directions to get involved. And I invite people to explore the complexity and be content with the simplicity of the way it all looks too.
Well spoken from our resident physicist, you know. I'll keep it simpler. One of our main organizers, his name's Gabe, and sometimes we call him Fungi because he's just a master at different mycelium and growing mushrooms. But anyway, he coined this phrase, or maybe he stole it, but it's kind of our phrase for this year. It's feeding the roots of regenerative systems. You know, we're nurturing the roots of those systems. So I encourage you to go to www.inlandnorthwestpermaculture.com. One thing we didn't mention is, I mean, even though it's an outside event, we've limited it to 150 people. So get on there and register. And even if you're just coming out for a few hours in the afternoon, do it. You won't regret it.
Always a good way to end. Just do it. Well, I want to thank you both, Jason Smith and Ken Kassler, for joining us for this morning's community conversation regarding permaculture and the convergence. And there's more at the websites that Ken and Jason have listed. You've been listening to Community Conversations. This is your host, Phil Huff. And if you missed any of this interview or just want to hear it all again, because there was so much material, you can go to krfy.org and click on the podcast link. It should be up within a day or so, and listen away to your heart's content. As always, thank you, and tune in every Tuesday and Thursday for Community Conversations.